Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, glory, glory. That's what he promised us. Thank you, Jesus. We do our part. He'll hold on to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about anybody else, but I made up my mind that I'm going to hold fast. I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to let go. It's no time to be letting go. Hallelujah. It's no time backing up. It's time to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. We got to keep moving forward, sisters and brothers. Got to keep moving forward. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, we've got to keep moving forward. Keep moving, keep moving. And Jesus said, he said, I would never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. Even in the tough times, I'll be right there with you. Hallelujah. And one thing that I've learned in my 50 some years of being on this earth, that Jesus has never failed me yet. Hallelujah. And I'm 100% that he's never failed you in the amount of time that you've been on this earth. Hallelujah. Hold fast. Hold on. Don't let go. Hallelujah. Oh, we got a lot of reasons why we could let go, but don't let go. Hold on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm just so glad to be here this morning. This is my church. I actually got a church that I can say it's my church. Hallelujah. This is where the Lord has allowed me to come and to fellowship. Me and my wife and my family and everybody else that's here. Thank you. I've seen many come. I've seen many leave. But I'm just glad that I'm here. Are you glad you're here? Amen. God's got something wonderful in store for us. Something marvelous. I'm getting a glimpse of it. I can see it. I can see it. But he says, son, you just got to hold on. Do what I say. Go where I say go. Do what I say do. When I say stop, stop. When I say go, go. Hallelujah. Following his instructions. You follow his instructions, you'll never go wrong. You'll always be on top. I want to be on top. What about you? Do you want to be on top? I want to be on top. I want to be able to look at what's going on, what's happening, so that the enemy can't sweep me off my feet. I want to know what's going on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost came and had a little talk with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was good. It was really good. Really good. It was like a dream that I had. It was just the other morning. I think it was Saturday morning. And it was Saturday morning. I was, after Tim told me that he wanted me to speak, then all of a sudden I had this dream about speaking. You ever had that experience? So that kind of gives you a confirmation that, yes, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Okay. So that's, I like those little help, little helping aids. So I was coming into this driveway, and it was this church that I was supposed to be speaking at. And I saw three gentlemen going across the driveway. And I knew right away that they weren't up to any good. And I looked at them. I saw they had guns. I said, uh-oh, what's going on here? I said, oof. Before I realized it, my instincts kicked in. My survival mode kicked in. I said, oh, something ain't right here. Something ain't right here. I backed up, boy. I put that car in reverse and I that car started, the wheels started spinning. I zipped that car around and I took off. I went about 5 miles. I said, oh, no, not today. This is not my day to die. This is not my day. Okay, so I got about 5 miles and I went into this little, another driveway and I just sat there and I just waited. So maybe I might have got past these guys. They're not going to come after me. They're not there to get rid of me. So anyhow, I sit there and all of a sudden, the same car comes by. I said, oh, good, at least he did. He went past me. He passed me. But then when I thought that I'd gotten away, oh, no, he looked. He saw my car. He zipped his car around. He came back over and came over toward me. Right then and there, I said, boy, I tell you, some fear kicked in. I woke up from that dream quick. I woke up quick. I said, oh, no. Now, I don't know what happened, but I know what I ain't going to die today. I'm getting up out of this dream here. This dream is too much for me. Okay, so I got up. I said, oh, my God. I said, no, I'm not going to die today. That's one thing I do love about life. I love living. I love life. You know, it has its disadvantages. Boy, I do love to live. I said, not today. So I woke up from that dream right quickly. I said, I don't know what God is trying to say to me or what the devil is trying to say to me, but I know one thing. I'm not going to die. So I woke up. And right after I woke up, then the Holy Ghost was able to come on in. He said, son, we're going to go back through this again. I said, oh, God. He said, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. So he said, now you did it your way. Your instincts kicked in. And it wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't the plan that I had for today. So we went through it again. I went back through it. I mean, it was like just in a, it was like a, just an instance. I didn't have nothing. Then all of a sudden I had everything. I had it all just in a little instance. It's like the Holy Ghost gave me what I needed to do. Went back through the whole thing again, just that quickly. I walked up to the drive. I drove up to the driveway and I came to the front of the church, and these same fellas was walking across the pathway. And God said, now, if there's ever a time for you to be bold, it's the time for you to be bold. So he said, I want you to walk up to him. So I walked up to him, and I looked at him. I said, hey, what's up, brothers? How y'all doing? They looked at me. I said, I noticed. They said, they thought it was weird because it seemed like I didn't have no fear. I didn't have nothing. I walked up to him. I said, brothers, you know, I noticed you don't have no Bibles in your hand. But you got guns in your hand. They looked at me. I says, in the name of Jesus. I mean, it just seemed like that boldness came over. I says, in the name of Jesus, I bind the devil. I bind the purpose of the enemy right now. I command whatever you plan to do now, that it's null and void. Destroy it. I destroy your plan now in the name of Jesus. They were looking at me. I says, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you're going to get born again today. They looked at me, had their guns, and they started shaking, and then they dropped their guns. I says, in the name of Jesus. And then I started ministering salvation to them. And I says, I'm going to be speaking in about 15 or 20 minutes. I want you to be there. They said, oh, sir, I'll be right there. They were sitting on the front row. And that very day, they got born again. Thank you, Lord. So the Holy Ghost says, now that's the way I want it to be. And that's the way God wants us to be in life. He wants us to be bold. We got to be bold. And we got to stand up for what we believe in. Hallelujah. Bold. In this life, you're going to find that there's a lot of choices, a lot of decisions that you're going to have to make. Start off when you're young, you got to make choices. When you get high school age, you got to make choices. Whether you're going to be on, you want to be on the football team or the basketball team, or getting ready for college, whether or not you're going to go to a community college. These are decisions that we all have to make. Humanity has, these are the things that we go through because we live in an organized society, and there are decisions that we have to make. And along with these decisions, we have to carry out plans. So, if you might want to go to Ivy League college. You might want to go to a junior college. You might want to go to just a state college. Whatever you want, it's your choice. You can do it. As you get older and you're successful in that area, you might go on. You might decide that you might want to get married. You know, marriage is not for everybody, but it's for a lot of folk. Okay? I made a decision to get married, and thank God it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my whole life. I had so many different choices. Young ladies would come by, and they were real nice young ladies, were good Christian young ladies, but they wanted to get married. Well, see, I wanted to get married, but I didn't really want nobody come to me saying that they wanted to be getting married. You see? I didn't want that. I wanted to be the aggressive one. You know, I'm old school. You know, I want you to be humble and adorn yourself and look good and carry yourself like a young lady should, and let me come to you. You know? I'm that type of man. Let me come to you. Okay, I tried it. And they all was ready. Oh yeah, I'm ready. I said, that ain't what I want. Mm-mm. That ain't what I want. I didn't want anybody like that. Sometimes they were young, sometimes they were around my age, sometimes they were a little older. No, that ain't what I want. I experienced a lot of things in life in my 50 years. You know, I tried everything, but there's so many choices out there. I said, well, let me try them all. I tried them all. But then after a while, you go so far and you say, you start growing up. You know, I mean, you can be young for a while and you can enjoy life, but after a while, you have to grow up. You have to make a sound decision of what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Some men just decide not to get married, and that's okay, and that's fine. God can use them that way. Well, I was the type, I had to be married. I thought that that's what I wanted. I wanted a good marriage. My mom and dad got married, and it didn't work. My grandmother and her husband got married. It didn't work. So I had all these decisions to make, all these forces that was around me. I said, well, I think I want to do the right thing. I had brothers that they went the opposite direction. I made up my mind. I said, I want to take the right path. I want to do the right thing. So I was the type that wanted to get married. So I came to this little church, and this is where I met my wife, Hazel. And she was a hard case. She was a hard case. But I thank God for it. Man. She didn't act like she wanted to get married. She always did look good. Oh. I tried to say nice little things to her, and I even talked to her. She got a lot of sisters. I tried to talk to her sisters. I said, do you think maybe you can have a little talk to her for me? Because I don't try everything else. I tried all my raps and everything, all that fancy stuff, you know. Girl, you the finest looking thing I ever seen, and all that. It seemed like it just didn't work for her. She's, oh no, I think she knew my number. It's okay. I guess I have to go ahead on and try to get it right. But I was serious. I really was serious. A lot of people say, man, whatever you do, don't mess around with that man Jones. Don't mess with him. He's a bad cookie in the jar. You better don't mess with him. And I know she heard a lot of that. So maybe that's why she was a little harder. Because she had heard some bad things, and she saw some bad things that weren't as pleasant as it should be in the church. I was in the church. Because, see, I've been in church all my life, so that's all I knew. So all I knew was church women. That's all I knew. Church, good church women. Well, so I had experience with a lot of them, but they just weren't really what I really thought that I really wanted. Tried it, didn't didn't work. Come to my wonderful wife. And I talked, like I said, I talked to her mom. She said, well, oh, now this one, you're going to like this one. I don't know if I said this. I said it to her sister first, and her sister said, well, let me see what I can do. Well, she never got back to me. Okay, that kind of frustrated me, so that pushed me to go a little further. So I went to her mom. I saw her mom one day. I says, ma'am, I says, I mean, you pretty much know me, right? She said, yeah, I kind of know you, kind of. I says, I kind of got a little interest in your wonderful daughter. She looked at me. And, you know, she's really serious now because, you know, every mom wants their daughter to get married and get married to the right man. Okay, so I had her interest now. And I was talking some good, nice stuff, and she liked that. Smooth. I was smooth talking to her. Well, I was smooth. And then all of a sudden, I said, well, do you think maybe you can talk, you know, maybe you can put a good word in for me? I said, because, you know, it seemed I tried everything, and she just seemed like she wouldn't, I just couldn't get her interest. She looked at me, she said, well, I tell you what, young man, if she don't want to be bothered, then you need to leave her alone. I said, oh, boy, that ain't going to work. That's sure enough not going to work. I said, man, I said, Lord, now you know, I said, I really got this feeling for her. And I really feel that this is really, really, really the young lady that I wanted. I really wanted. Okay. I said, no way, this ain't working. Daughter is not working. Mama's not working. Friends is not working. I said, I'm going to try. I'm going to take it to another level. So I just walked. I started talking to her one day. I said, I tell you what, I am going to set up an appointment. And if you don't mind, I'm come on over to your house. And all you got to do is prepare a nice little meal for me. And, oh, I got bold. I said, hand me a nice little meal. And I told him exactly what I liked. And she prepared it. So I get there, and I was really surprised. I said, man, oh. So I said, maybe the Lord really is working with me on this one. He's helping me out. So I went in there, and we ate the food, and I ate the food. And it was, you know, she had some kids already. And they were beautiful kids, and I really loved them. I said, but I was willing to go beyond all that. I wanted her. So I said, okay, let me go talk to my mom. I said, I really like this lady. And so I went to talk to my mom. And my mom said, I said, Mom, I found a young lady that I really, really like. I really, really like her. And it seemed like she's different from everybody else. And I just think she's the cream of the crop. So she said, well, I want some. You know, I want some kids. I want a son, a grandson. I want a granddaughter. I said, well, okay, no problem. I don't think that's going to be no problem. But then it seemed like for some odd reason, my mom was just doing so many things that irritate me. I said, maybe she ain't too interested in my wife Hazel, or soon to be wife Hazel. So I went and I talked to my grandma. I said, well, let's see what granny going to say. I went to grandma. Grandma told me, she already had some kids already. And I said, what could I do? What do I need to do? Should I marry her? Or should I just maybe move on, maybe look for something else? My grandmother told me, she looked at me, she said, son, well, if you love her, then you'll love the kids as well. And you stick with her. And she gave me a look that I'll never forget as long as I live. As long as I live. She told me, she said, son, if that's the one, then I'm with you 100%. And ever since that day, I said, oh, I'm on the right track now. Because if I got grandma with me, I know I'm on the right track. But grandma is always on focus. She's always on course. She said, well, if you like, another thing she said, if you like the chicken, what was it? Okay. If you love the cow, well, I didn't want to say cow, but I guess that's what she said. Okay. If you love the cow, then you have to love the calves. Okay. Okay. I said, well, I can do that too. And thanks be to God. If you look in the back, there's my beautiful family in the back. And we got, it's three of them. It's two girls and a boy. And I love them so much. I mean, I'm willing to die for them. That's just how much I love them. I don't have any kids of my own, but those are my kids now. And I love them with all of my heart, everything within me. And we're going to see Jesus. We're going to be with Jesus for the rest of our life. And then my daughter, she got married to a beautiful young man. And he's in the back. And I just, you know, I thank God for it. Amen. See, when you walk up right before God and you seek God and stay before God and honor your wife, honor your children, God, he'll stand and he'll come in the midst and he'll help you out. He'll help you out. That was a tough decision I had to make. But I made it, and I'm so glad. It's the best decision I could ever, ever make. I'm asking everybody to turn with me to Luke 16. And we got a situation here where a fella had to make a grave choice. Today we're talking about making good choices, making good choices, good decisions. And after you make those good choices and make good decisions, you don't have no regret. Don't have no regret for it. I don't have no regret. This woman is the best woman that I ever experienced being with. We've been married for almost 30 years, and I'm just so excited about it. We can celebrate our 30th year anniversary, August the 24th. I'm just so excited about it. Thank you, Lord. And I better come up. I got something big I got to do. If I don't, I'm going to be in big time trouble. Yes, but I love it. Luke, the 16th chapter, starting at the first verse, it says here, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this thing of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thy mayeth be no longer steward. Then the steward said unto himself, what shall I do? Now, he got a choice to make. A grave choice. He goes, what am I going to do here now? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I can't dig. I can't beg. I'm ashamed. Homeboy's in a bad situation. So he had to think about what am I going to do? What can I do? He says, in the fourth verse, he says, I'm resolved what to do. I know what I'm going to do. That when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lords debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40 score. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And then Jesus says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? Choices, choices, so many choices. When he comes up with a good choice, a resolve. I came up with a, but resolve was Resolve is when you come up with, you're in a situation, and you have to make a decision what you're going to do. So you got to come up with a wise decision, and you have to have a plan of action. And that plan of action is not just for yourself, but a good resolve is usually it will benefit the individual person, it will benefit others that's involved. Okay. As far as the steward is concerned, now he's got to take care of, he's got to come up with this plan of how he can get things to make his situation look good. You ever been in that situation where you got to come up with a situation or a plan or a plot or whatever, something that's good to benefit everybody that's involved? Okay. We got the rich man, we got the steward, and we got the debtors, all three of them. So what he does, he comes up with the plan. He says, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to help the debtors, and I'm going to cut their, what they owe, I'm going to slash it in half. And once I cut it in half, then I'll get that money, and then I can get all the money that I lost, I can gain it all back, and then I can give it to the rich man, and then I can stand before him and present this to him, and it make me look good. So that was his objective, that he wanted to look good. Even though he had wasted a lot of stuff, he still wanted to prove to the rich man that even though I messed up, I can get it back. And the Bible says that the Lord, the rich man, he was pleased. He said, I like that. I like the way you did that. He said, that was a good plan. You made a good decision. You had a good plan of action. And it benefited. It benefited me. It benefited you. And it benefited the debtors. All three of them got benefited. So Jesus turns around and he says, if you understand that, he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, can you understand what I'm about to say now? And he says here, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. I didn't understand what that meant for so long, but now I understand it real simple. Thank God we had an excellent teacher right here, Pastor Dave, Tim, and Gary, some of the other great teachers, and they broke that down to us. And life is not always about yourself. It's not about you. It's always about somebody else. Amen. So Jesus says, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of righteousness. So in other words, if you have any common sense, good sense, he says, what you do, you make, get your money, try to learn as much as you can from the world. Learn from the world. Try to build up your account, your financial account, your money. And with your money, you don't take your money and just give it out, just to be giving it out. But through the leadership of the Holy Ghost, you give and you bless somebody else. So you're taking your money and you invest in your money. You invest in your money into the gospel. So if you take and give and put your money into the gospel, then you'll be able to help other people that's in need. Many people get saved. Many people be set free. We have awesome preachers that travels all over the world preaching the gospel. You take your finances and you invest and give into the gospel so that other people can be saved, so that other people can be delivered and set free. See, instead of taking that money that you make and it just hoarding it up for yourself, just putting it into the bank and keeping it for yourself. So I think I go buy me a brand new Mercedes Benz, or I go and buy me a nice motorbike. I mean, those things are nice if you feel that you want it. I mean, if you got the money to do it, hey, you can do it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think first, you should be able, you should have the mentality to be able to be a giver and give into the gospel. That's a good decision to make, because it's going to help you in the long run. It's going to help people. Are many people going to be saved? Are many people going to be delivered? And are many people going to be set free? And that's what it's all about. That's what God called us for. He called us to say, he saved us first. Then after he saved us, then we're supposed to get the teaching and the learning and the wisdom to take what we know and share it with the world, so that the world can be delivered. They can be set free. Now, everybody's not going to be totally delivered and set free. But those that do decide to be delivered and set free and in the gospel, then those will be those that will be on your account. So when we get to heaven, I didn't understand that. But now I'm starting to understand. When we get to heaven, then we can have people that's on our account. And when God judge us, he's going to say, okay, you have so many hundreds of people, so many thousands of people that you got saved because you had a good resolve. You had a good plan of action. You stood strong and you bold and you made a wise decision by taking your goods that you got from the world and you shared it and you took it and turned it around and gave it back. And you put it into the gospel so that other people can be saved, so other people can be delivered. That's how I got born again. I remember this one lady, she loved God so much. And she got my whole family saved. And then she finally got me saved. And now she's gone on with the Lord. Can you imagine what happened? I mean, thousands of people she got saved. Because she had the right motive. She had the right attitude. She made a wise decision. And she stood strong. She stood strong in her faith. She had confidence in God more so than anything. And that's what it's all about. So these are the decisions that we have to make. We want to make good, wise decisions. Turn with me again into Hebrews 11 chapter. We're going to talk about another situation. Oh, by the way, today is Father's Day. So since today is Father's Day, we're going to be talking about, you know, men that made wise decisions that changed the generation. In Hebrews, Hebrews 11 chapter and 23rd verse. It says, by faith, Moses, let everybody say Moses. When he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses. It's talking about Moses, but the emphasis is put on here. It says when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents. So his parents were people of faith. They had confidence in God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's who they believed in. That's who they were totally determined that that's the God that they were going to serve. And no matter what it took, that's who they were going to live for the rest of their life. And because of this, they saw that Moses was when he was born, he was hid 3 months, his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child. Okay, he was a good little child. You know how little babies, when they're born, I'm looking at that little fella in the back. Handsome little fella. Okay? He's a cute little fella. And you know, we would call him proper. That's from the natural point of view. But when it came to Moses, they were doing to Moses the same way. Oh, he's such a beautiful little child. He's awesome. But there was more than just the fact that he was such a beautiful little child. The Bible goes further. He was ordained of God. And that's what makes the difference. In other words, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob had his hands on Moses. So he just wasn't just an ordinary child. He was unique. He was called of God. And because they trusted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they hid him for 3 months, as long as they could. The king had put out a decree. All children, all the Hebrew children would have to be destroyed. Because they were just growing so fast, so rapidly. And the king was afraid that you know, hey, these kids and all these people would grow up and they would try to destroy or take Egypt over. But thank God. God had a plan. So what the parents did, they came up with a good plan. The plan was that what they would do, they would take Moses, wrap him up in a basket, and send him on down the Nile. And as he would go down the Nile, hopefully somebody will find him. And if somebody find him, he will survive. See, God's hand is on it. Who found him? An Egyptian woman. The princess of Egypt. Who else better? That's about the best person that could find somebody like Moses. And when she found him, you're talking about life now. Moses is going to live a long life now. A lot of kids were dying, but Moses was able to survive. Moses grows up. Had everything that anybody could ever want. Any man could ever want. He had it all. He was the prince. He became prince of Egypt. He was a man of God. He was the prince of Egypt. He had riches, fame, fortune. He was a master builder. He built 75-80% of Egypt. He was sitting high. By faith, Moses, 23rd. I'm sorry, let's go to 24th. By faith, Moses, when he was born, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, first 40 years, he had all the pleasures of Egypt. All the pleasures of Egypt. He had it all. Everything. You name it, he had it. Riches, fame, fortune. Women at his feet, he had it all. They would bow down to him. Man, I tell you, it's hard to give up something like that. It's hard to give that up. When a man of his stature would... Now he's 40 years old. He's coming to the point in his life now. And he's realizing it's good to have all these things. But then he found out that he was related to a group of people that he was lord over. Now 40 years he's dealing with this. 40 years. 40 years. He's dealing with Israel and being lord over them. Now all of a sudden... Now, he's wondering now. Let me go and check up on him. He goes and check up on him. The 24th. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? A better account of that is in Exodus. I'm sorry. Exodus. Exodus, the second chapter. That's a better account of how Moses, how he grew up and how he found out who he really was related to. So we see here that he says, it says he, 25th, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had to make a decision. He did his first 40 years, and he lived high off the hog, enjoyed pleasure, fun. The best of life could ever offer. Now he realized that he belonged to another group of people. I'm not an Egyptian no more. I am a Hebrew. So now he's going to have to make a decision. What are you going to do? See, sometimes we're faced with those decisions. They're hard decisions. But you got to come up with some kind of program, some kind of plan. What am I going to do? You know, how am I going to live like this? And then we see here that he run into a situation where he had... one of the Hebrew guys was being beat by the Egyptian guy. What happened? Moses instinctively, this is my brother you messing with now. So out of instincts, Moses lashed out at the Egyptian and he killed him. Now he got to run. He got to get on out of here. He didn't leave right away, but he stayed another day. The Bible says he stayed a second day and he came back and he figured that the guy would be a pro. He said, at least this guy would, hopefully they would understand what I'm all about. You know, I want to help you. You know, hey, I've been with you 40 years now and I'm kind of sad. I don't want you to suffer the way you're suffering. So he kills the Egyptian. And then the following day, the Bible says that he had to defend himself. He tried to help one of the servants, and he had an attitude. The king, one of the highest officials in the land, gonna help you out, and you gonna turn around and show no type of gratitude. Who do you think you are? Well, you mean, I'm trying to help you, my man. I'm trying to help you out. I made a decision to help you out. Instinctively, I wanted to help you out. What you want to be Lord over me now? You already was Lord over me. Now you want to be Lord? You want to be Lord over me again? Attitude. Moses got on out of there. He left. He went to Midian. Once he went to Midian, he stayed there for 40 years. He learned. He learned some things in Midian. He learned some truth. He learned about Jethro and what Jethro believed in. Jethro believed in a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He believed in that God. And Moses got to know and learn about that God. So he was ready. So he knew it was time for him to go back. God said, okay, now you're going to go back. You got to go back and you got to get it right and do it right. I need you to help out. And he did it. He made a wise decision. When he went back to 40, at this time, Moses is about 80 years old. He done made a decision now. I'm a Hebrew, and I'm going to live as a Hebrew. God called me to get these people out of this country, and I'm going to get them out of there. Come hell or high waters, I'm going to get them out of there. They murmured, they complained, but yet he still had it made up in his mind that he was going to get them out of there. So he went and he worked on it as much as he could. He had some success and he had some setbacks, but he had made up his mind. See, that's the thing. He made up his mind that he's going to stand firm. And sometimes he obeyed, sometimes he didn't obey. But he stood firm on the fact that I'm serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I got an assignment, and I got to fulfill that assignment. I have to fulfill it. So he lives with them. And then eventually God uses him after 80 years to bring the people out. So the point is that you have to make a bold stand. That's what Moses did. As a man of God now, 80 years old, he made a bold stand. And he stood. God wants us to be bold. He wants us to bold and stand. So as the Holy Ghost was teaching me, he was trying to show me, son, I need you to be bold. I need you to stand. You need to put everything else aside and do what I tell you to do. So that's a good thing. So it's a decision that you have to make. And you have to hold to it. You can't let it go. You have to hold firm to it. Hold to it. It says that Moses was so faithful, he kept the Passover. He was faithful in what he did. He believed in what he did. He believed in the God of Abraham. And that's what God wants us to do. He don't want us to get discouraged. He wants us to be encouraged. I'm encouraged. I'm learning how to obey. It's not easy obeying, because a lot of times you have the flesh gets in the way. But this is the reason why God sent us here, so we can get rid of this flesh. And we can do it. And God has given us tools how to do it. How to fast. How to pray. how to stay in God's word, how to learn God's word and stay firm on his word and hold tight to it and keep the confidence in God's word. And as we learn, then eventually we can obey. We can obey. I can't say that I've always obeyed. That's one of my biggest problems, is obeying. I'm really stubborn. But there comes a time in your life when you have to obey. You have to obey and do what God say. Do it. You might not like it. There's a lot of things I don't like. Believe it or not, you think I like being up front here? I really don't like being up front. I really like to do what I need to do. I can do it in the back. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person. But God's called in me and my wife to move on up. And it's difficult, but you got to be obedient. I died one time. I don't want to die again. It ain't too much fun. It ain't no fun. It ain't fun. Because that's always before you. It's always before you. It stays before you. Son, you must obey. You got to obey. I got so much stuff planned for you to do. I have so many people that I want you to get saved. So many people that I want you get delivered. Me? Yes, you. That's what Moses is saying. Me, Lord? Yes, you, Moses. Me, Richard? Yes, you. Yes, you. Me? Yes. You do it, you're going to find out in your lifetime, in your lifetime. Because the way things are going now, this world is not getting any better. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. They don't just put you in jail no more. They cut your head off. That's just how bad it's getting. Can you believe it? That we're living in a society now where there are people that foreigners that will just cut your head right off. They don't care. So somebody got to be standing. God needs somebody that's willing to stand and be strong and be bold. And if we follow the directions of the Holy Ghost, even though it seemed like it's a hard situation, God can usher you right on through. He can usher you right through, and the enemy won't be able to see you, and you'll be able to go through that dark path and come out on the other side. And the devil saying, how in the world did you get through? How did you get past me? It's because you followed the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And when you follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, you come out on the other end. And then one day, we're going to be with the Lord. One day, we're going to look back. We're going to come into heaven, and all these people are going to be sitting there waiting. I know some might smack me. I don't know. I mean, I know that don't happen in heaven, but you know, they're going to be happy. They're going to be happy because I chose to make the right decision and to hold firm to it and not let go. Not let go. So I just want to encourage everybody. Hold on. Hold on. Just hold on. Don't let go. And another thing the Lord showed me the other day, he showed me, he said, I know we're going through some things in our own church. We're going, even in this own church, we're going through some things. But one thing you can remember, he showed me the heart of the man of God. His heart. What is Pastor Dave all about? Is he about fame and fortune? Is he about the best of the best churches in the world? And he could have all those things. But the gift that he has right now, there is nothing that Pastor Dave could not get. He could not get. He could not accomplish. And I know that it's going to come to pass because the Lord already showed me. He showed me dumpsters of financial wealth that's going to come through this place. He showed, and I saw it very clearly in a dream. And God said he deal with us in dreams and visions. Clearly, money was just overflowing, and it was right here. I thought the money was for me. And on the side of the dumpster, it says, the Family Prayer Center. I thought it was for me. I mean, it was my dream. But it's not all mine. Not all mine. It's Family Prayer Center. And he showed it. But the heart of the man, he's about souls. He will give his last. He will give his last so that somebody gets saved. Somebody gets set free. Somebody can get on a plane and go to another country and declare and preach the gospel. And somebody get delivered and set free. That is the heart of our pastor. That's his heart. And that's the way he wants us to be. He wants us to be encouraged. Because even though we're going through rough times now, they're not going to last. We got to go through the bad to come out and have victory on the other end. There is victory on the other end. But we just have to be patient. And we have to wait and continue to obey. Don't be discouraged. But be encouraged. I see you in 30 minutes.